For our New Testament reading, we're going to be reading Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 16. As this is a topical sermon continuing on with the mission of the church, I don't have a specific text that the whole sermon's coming from, but this brings across the idea. Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 1. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by the craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking of the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Pray with me. God, help us now. Help us to learn about who we actually are, so that we would walk in the right paths, that we would live lives worthy of the calling that we have received, so that your church will be built up in faith, built up in strength, built up in glory, so that we will do the deeds that you have called us to do, so that we will faithfully point to your Son, Jesus Christ, so that the nations will indeed come to you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In my younger years, when I first went to art school, I was just awash in this propaganda of the idea that you can form your own reality by your thinking. Positive thinking changes things. Whatever you think hard enough, you can believe. And boy, I ended up in a real mess thinking that way. One of the projects that we had to do, we had to create a finished piece of artwork. And I had this idea, and I made this plaque, and it said reality. But the reflection or the shadow of the word reality was distorted a little bit, and it came down and it had a question mark after it. And it had the idea and this theme of always questioning reality, wondering, are the things that we see really the things that are there? Are these the things that we should give ourselves to? Are these the things that we should believe? And it went to deep, deep levels. It went to the levels of the things that we've learned. I learned about God, the things that I thought about God. Are these things true? Are these things real? And I found myself in the place where I questioned everything. Now, part of what we deal with in our Christian life is the propaganda that's been brought to us. The ways that the world thinks, the way the world brings ideas to us. My children and I, we were talking about different things recently. We're talking about worldviews in movies. And I was explaining the way a worldview works in regards to a movie. You have the main character, and he starts off thinking one thing. And through the course of the movie, his mind is changed. And he begins to think something else. And that's brought to you as the noblest thing and the noblest idea. And he's been brought on this journey, and these movies even work in such a way where we're being brought along, and we're taught to think something else and given another idea. We try to be sensitive to that when we watch movies with our kids and ask, so what was the worldview in that? What was the idea in that? What was being brought across? What's being sold? What are they trying to convince you of? Well, as we live and as we work, we've been sold different worldviews. We've been washed in different things. Scripture talks about vain speculations set up against the truth of God. And here's a truth that we are constantly needing reinforced in our minds. This truth of us being united to Christ, the truth that you are the body of Christ. And this impacts the way that we think. This impacts the way that we work. It impacts the way that we love. Where we go out and we really do, Matthew 6:33. Where we seek first the kingdom of God. When you realize when you go to work, whatever it is, you are the body of Christ, the hand of Christ in that environment. You are the mouthpiece of Christ in that environment. For some of you, it's in an unbelieving household. You are the mouthpiece of Christ in that environment. Well, as we move along here, we're working on the process of adjusting our thinking so that we think truth. Adjusting our relationships and adjusting our course. Now, as we have looked at, and as we've considered the mission of the church, how it's been brought to us in our standards, one of the calls for us is to build people up in their most holy faith. Build people up in their most holy faith. And that is not our natural bend. It's easier to break. It's easier to tear down. But this idea that we exist in one another's lives for this work, we saw it in Ephesians 4:16, where it speaks of Christ and it says, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies. This idea, see, my work is generally obvious. I'm a teacher. I supply things for the body to be held together in my teaching. The things that I bring to you, they should be thought of that way. I'm bringing you truth. I'm bringing you reality so that you will be fitted together. But also in your life, in your work, in your relationships within the church, the things that you do as you use the gifts that you have been given, every joint is supplying and we are building each other up. According to the proper working of each individual part causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. That's Ephesians 4:16. So as you work, and none of you here are too small for this. None of you here are too young for this. None of you here are too old for this. As you properly work, fulfilling what you have been made to do, you are building the church up in unity in Christ. Now, I have marveled many times at what a difference it makes having a friend helping and working. How my work is actually doubled or even tripled by having somebody labor with me. And as I look out and I see each of you, I imagine each of you doing the part that you have been called to do and the work that is accomplished or would be accomplished by the kingdom as we fulfill our roles in Christ. The amazing work that will be done. Now, when I worked on Uncle Charles's farm as a young man, I once went and asked, I said, "Can my friend come help me?" And his response was no. Because I said, "Well, I'll split the money with him." He said, "No, two boys get less work done than one." Sometimes that's true. But we can't be that. We can't be distractions for one another. And that is our temptation. Now, this is accomplished in the ways, the way that you build people up, you're nourished in what you take in. 1 Peter 2:2. Like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. This is a command. Long for the pure milk of the word. Long for the scripture. Somebody that's older in our congregation, I was talking to them recently, and they've seen many years. And they were talking about now, in their life, how God is moving them and changing them after decades of knowing Christ. Saying that now in his life, he is going to Scripture, and he is praying that Jesus will show him something. Wondering, what does Christ have for me now, in my old age? He's saying, now as he's praying, "Jesus, show me what you would have me do." Scripture is opening up for him in completely new ways that he has not known in the course of his life. See, none of us here are at the place where we've learned it all. We've got it accomplished. And for you who are younger, or you haven't seen the years that I've seen or other members of our congregation have seen, you are at such an amazing time. You can really learn. Stack knowledge on top of knowledge and blessing on top of blessing, where you will be nourished and have the opportunity to build others up in their faith. As we can go on considering the idea of building others up in their most holy faith, consider the things you say in Ephesians 4:29. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. That's tough. And that's not always just saying nice stuff. We hit on the idea this morning, the 11th commandment isn't be nice. You see, the idea that we only bring what's good for edification sometimes, and we're going to look at this a little later, sometimes what's good for edification is tearing something else down. Something that shouldn't be there. An idol that shouldn't be there. Your Asherim pole. Sometimes we have to go to people with an axe. And we have to cut down their wrong thinking. And that is good for edification. That is good for building people up. And that is a part of our work. Now, where we seek to grow, 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How do we grow? We grow in Christ. You grow in Christ. So we have this people who are assembled together and these people who are brought together, and we are meant to work. We're meant to fulfill our function, and that's fulfilled as you grow in Christ. As you are nourished in the Word, as you share what's good for building one another up, and we become this force for building each other up in our most holy faith. As we continue on, another statement in the mission of the church is, train people to be faithful witnesses for Christ. Now, this is a bit difficult here because that's not the work of everyone in the congregation. But what we do have and what we are given, in 2 Timothy 2:2, the things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Now, this has ramifications and application for all of us. Entrusting these things to faithful men. For one, it's going to be a faithful man. So that these things can be entrusted to you, so that you can pass these on to others, so that you can cultivate others, so they can pass them on. Another application will be for the women and the wives in the congregation. Supporting your husband. Encouraging him to make him one of these faithful men so that these things will be passed on. Encouraging and supporting the young men in the congregation. Teaching them to be faithful men so that these things will be received and that they will be passed on. We must be a people, we must be a unit who are indeed raising an army. Training people to fight. Training people for the kingdom. Because darker days are on the horizon for the church. Harder times are on the horizon. Our sons and our daughters, I suspect, will see very dark times. And what will we give them to make them ready for such times? How will we equip them if it's not in the things and the truths, these doctrines that we have been given? We also train one another in worship, as we see in Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to Christ. We have the work in the assembly of washing one another in the word. That is an amazing truth to me that is missing in so many other areas of the church. You come in and you wash each other with the words of Christ so that the church is admonished and built up and encouraged and strengthened. This work continues on. We see it in Matthew 28:19-20. And this is a particularly important passage for me. I do think of the church as a military unit. I do think of Christ as the general, the one who is in charge of the armies of the hosts of heaven. And when he was here last and he spoke, he said this to us, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And as a teaching elder, that I feel that weight. Teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And so, this application, you get to train everyone that's under you. Everyone that's younger than you. You get to encourage and support each other. And you also have this burden on you. To be taught. To be taught. To find out where the meat is. To get a hold of it. Take it in. Make it your own. Grow in the grace and knowledge of your Lord and Savior through the Word of God. And so in this aspect of training people to be faithful witnesses for Christ, we all have a part in it. Now, as we continue on there, in order to be a faithful witness for Christ, you have to understand the true Christ. And there's so much garbage out there. Christ is so distorted. Leslie and I saw this TV show the other night, and this man starts talking about John the Baptist. And our ears perked up. It was this secular show. We're like, really? John the Baptist? And he said, it said that when Jesus came to John the Baptist and he was baptized him, the heavens opened and a dove descended. And I'm all excited by this scene. And he said, that told John something. I'm thinking, yes, it did. He said, that told John that this man had been cleansed of all of his sins. And I wanted to start jumping up and down and throw something through the television. Jesus wasn't cleansed from his sin. Jesus had no sin. He was tested in every way that you were. He was put to every single grinder for a test. And he showed up true. You see, the world is all about lying about Jesus. And it creeps in. And it sneaks in and bad doctrines and even places that some of us mistakenly call churches. These lies are brought to bear. So there's an understanding of who the true Christ is, and we understand him from Scripture as a priest forever. Hebrews 5:5-6. So also Christ did not glorify himself so as to become a high priest, but he who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you," just as he says also in another passage, "You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." See, he's the one who stands between us and God's wrath. He's the one who rescues and saves, and there is no other. We see Christ as king. In Matthew 28:18, "And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth.'" There is a deficit in this world. There is this failure in the world to acknowledge Christ as he truly is. And people like a weak Jesus. They like that. They like him small. They like him insignificant. They like him soft. He's not just that. He's not just soft. He is gentle, yes. But he's a king. He's the mightiest king. So often people, and particularly men, are looking for someone worthy to follow. They're looking for someone they can get behind. They're looking for someone that they can admire. They're waiting for someone to shout a battle cry. And that's why a false Jesus has been peddled. A man weak and small, rather than a true king. And it's a true king that we announce and we stand for. We see Christ as the perfect prophet. Acts 3:22. Moses said, "The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. To him you shall give heed." And a literal translation of that is, listen to him. The one who announces reality, the one who announces truth, the true prophet, the true priest, the true king. And this is who the church stands behind and who the church must announce and accept, nothing less. As we continue on in the mission of the church, it is to maintain the ordinances of divine worship in their purity. How do you do that? How do you do that? What is the place of that for us? Well, we saw in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 8, it says, "You shall not do what you're doing now." And he described what was being done at that time. Is everyone doing what's right in their own sight? You know, in a lot of places that's comfortable. In a lot of places that's fun. And there are a lot of churches that's the thing. I was talking to a family member, and they were talking about having extra services. And the other services would be geared towards drawing other people in, younger crowds with their lights and with their music and with different kinds of music so that people would be drawn in. And he said, "Hey man, whatever gets them in." And I was thinking, no, that's not worship to God. That would be worship to people. That would be serving people to satisfy their wants, to satisfy their desires. And that's why we put such a heavy emphasis on that passage in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 32. "Whatever I command you, you shall be careful to do. You shall not add to it, nor take away from it." I don't know of a better way to maintain divine worship. I can't think of anything else. Just do what I said. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. And there is this simplicity in it. A simplicity in a service to God where it doesn't need to be convoluted. It doesn't need to have all these extra forms and symbols or, as my professor in seminary said, smells and bells. As is present in some churches, with their incense, with their ringing of bells, but simply prayer, singing, proclamation of the word, That's what's required. And that's what he's asked for, and we shall not add to it. Neither shall we take away from it. We continue on, and part of the work of the church is to witness against all evil. That's a scary position, isn't it? Witnessing against all evil. Well, 1 Timothy 3:15, and we've talked about this before, but it's a good place to remember. The church of the living God is the pillar and buttress of the truth. That's scary. That puts us in the place where we have to judge. We have to judge. It's our place in this world to judge. Now that is completely countercultural. Where the highest commandment in our culture is tolerance. But how can a body be the pillar of the truth without saying what truth is? Without saying what is right? Without saying what is wrong? And we see here that it is the church's job. It is the church's responsibility to witness against evil. Now in 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says, "We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ." See, being a pillar of the truth is standing for and stating reality. And to be a pillar of the truth, you have to tear down lies. You have to. You have to destroy evil. You have to destroy these things that have been set up against the truth. Destroying speculations and everything raised against the knowledge of God. And you are going to run into people constantly who are thinking, who are saying, "Well, I think this." Or, "I feel this." And Scripture undoes that. It's not what we can speculate that we stand by. And in fact, speculations are to be torn down. Now, this is a hard place to be. And it is a scary place to be. I was talking to a man this morning when he said, because the service went over. And he said, "Boy, I was thinking, get over it. Hurry up. Hurry up. I've got people coming to my house." And he said this to me, and I was thinking, I don't think you get it. And I wished I'd said that. I probably should have said it. Now, there was this picture for him. This is just something that we get in and we get it done. We get it over and we get out. And we've got to be prepared in a loving way to state the truth. To tear down these speculations. And here's the way that you do that. Consider this. You think of the times where you've blown it. Pretty easy. I can think of a lot of times that I've blown it. I could run through this past week and think of times where people laid out their speculations and I didn't deal with the reality. Take time and pray about that actual situation. And see how God would have you reveal the reality in that situation. That's who we're supposed to be. That's what we're supposed to do. And this revealing reality is a huge part, is a huge aspect of the church. See, our statement wraps up with, and the mission of the church wraps up with, in every way, to seek the advancement of the kingdom of God on earth. Now, the neat thing is that the kingdom of God has already covered the earth. Christ already owns everything. You know, the bar down at the end of the bridge. That's Jesus' place. He owns that place. The people in there are ignoring that reality. They are ignoring that truth. Everywhere we go, everywhere we tread, the public schools, Jesus owns those. They're His. but that truth is being rejected. The reality is being ignored. You see, we give and we display the right view of Christ. See, this world will be conformed to what he had needed to be and what it will be. And that's why Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." Because as the reality, or not the reality, but as the thinking is changed and lined up with reality, all things are set in place. Micah 4:1, it says it this way, "And it will come about in the last days that the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains. It'll be raised above the hills, and the peoples will stream to it." Christ's kingdom, all the kingdoms of the earth will stream to it. This will be the reality. This is the reality. And we do our work now with that in mind. We have our relationships now with that in mind. We say the things that we say now with that in mind. Equipping one another. Encouraging one another. Building one another up. Washing ourselves in the Word. Seeking the Word. Seeking to grow ourselves. So that we do bring this kingdom. Now, we have a work to do, Eastvale. And Eastvale Session. As we consider, what gifts have we been given? What abilities do we have? Where will be our place on the front line? And what opportunities will each of us have to contribute to this battle, to this war, as the kingdom of God advances? So seek Christ. Seek his righteousness. Pray for wisdom for your session. Pray that each of us will be moved to know where our front line is, so that we will faithfully fight to see the kingdom brought and to see Christ's kingdom advanced in this world. Pray with me. God, our God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your great calling on our lives. Cause us, Father, to press forward for you and for your name's sake, that you will indeed be glorified as we seek your face and as we prepare for battle. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Psalm 102a.